Started a series 2 weeks ago on called Next, and talking about where we're going as a church and some things that the Lord has for us. Talked about our values and vision and mission. Last week talked about connecting, the importance of being connected and what God has for us. You know, friends with a cause, common unity. So we just want to pick up there. Let me remind you again of what the vision of Good News Church is. You'll find that in our bulletin, but we'll read it again today. It's: we see a community of believers strongly connected to God and to each other, empowered by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit to be able ministers. We say there, we're talking about being a follower of Jesus, a disciple, ambassador for Christ, a minister of reconciliation. It's found in 2 Corinthians 5. Reaching their world and beyond with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so we're a church of not just receivers, receive all the blessings and just kind of hoard them up to ourselves. We believe in being blessed, but then to be a blessing with what God has given to us. In our mission here at Good News Church, this is what we do. Function of this church is empowering people to give life. Everybody say that. Empowering people to give life. The word empowerment means to give someone the authority and power to do something. It's to authorize folks, to make someone strong or confident, to enable someone to take control of their life and to claim their rights. And we're certainly doing that in our teaching and ministry here, teaching believers to claim their rights, to walk on their rights, but then to exercise those rights, not only in their lives, but in the lives of others, to be a blessing to others. So the Lord said to us about this year, He said this would be a year of explosive empowerment. Anybody remember that? We've been talking about that this year. And this explosive empowerment obviously means kind of a bursting forth of empowerment, an increasing in that area, that we would grow at a faster pace than we had in the past. And we've seen that. We've had members of our church go to other churches and minister and preach and lay hands on the sick. We had our Thrivers go to Ohio to minister up there to some churches and work with Jeremy Gall Ministries up there. Other pastors have been requesting information about what we've been doing here in the area of empowerment and reaching the lost. We had the opportunity to go to Australia this year to do a conference there and do a conference on empowerment. So we've seen that. There's just been a stepping out, a growing in the area of empowerment. But the major thing that we've seen in explosive empowerment is what we're going to talk about today. And it may not be something that you quite know, or maybe you have a kind of a sensing that this is happening. But what the Lord is saying to us, that our target area for reaching and empowering is no longer just the Augusta area. It's no longer the Augusta area. That we're taking this empowerment to the world, out beyond this area. And I've got scriptural precedence for that. Not that, I mean, we just need to follow the Lord, but if you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is an exciting day today. It's been an exciting year. We had an amazing service on Wednesday night. Should have been there if you weren't, but the Lord was basically just talking about breakthrough and encouraging people. I think many people had been under a lot of pressure in different areas, and we kind of just blew through that. But in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says this. I'm reading this from the Amplified Version. It says, "But you shall receive power." Everybody say power. Ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. Now, when he's talking about Jerusalem, that's our hometown. Jerusalem is the Augusta area in the surrounding area. Judea is the state, province, or nation. Samaria represents the outcasts, because Samaria to the Jews was a place they wouldn't go and people they wouldn't talk to or even be around. Samaria represents the poor, the down and out, and the forgotten peoples. And every community, every place has those folks. And then, of course, to the ends of the world, and that's everybody else. That's the nations. So the Lord is guiding us, directing us, and he's giving us two specific things to do that. I know there'll be other things, but we know of two things that we're going to announce today. And I'll talk about the first one, and have Susie come up and talk about the second one. But the first thing that the Lord is going to have us do in the era of empowerment outside of this area, in partnership with Jeremy Gall Ministries, we're going to start a school of miracle evangelism called Insight. And we're going to start this in January of 2012. Yay! And Insight is going to be for three different kinds of folks, and we're looking for about 15 to 20 students for our initial class. But Insight is going to be for believers who do not feel a call to full-time ministry, but want to do the works of Christ. And part of our mandate here is to be able to train others to do the works of Christ. Insight will be for people who are called, they feel they're called to full-time ministry, and they want to have a strong foundation in miracle evangelism. And then Insight will be for those that are already in full-time ministry and feel an urgency to acquire the tools for reaching the lost with miracle evangelism. So basically three categories of people, and I think, you know, this is going to be for everybody, really. Believers, got any believers in here today? Believers, those have a desire to go into full-time ministry, maybe feel a calling for that. And for those maybe that are already in ministry. And who's going to come? Well, I think there's going to be people in Good News Church that are going to want to come to this. There's going to be people in this area. It would make sense. And we'll inform other churches and other people that we know in the area. But then I believe there'll be others outside of the Augusta area that will actually want to come and live in Augusta. And when we were in Australia, we mentioned this. I've mentioned this probably the last 2 weeks. People there, had several people there said, can we come and live with you guys? Be a part of your church for 6 months. Well, you don't have to do it for 6 months. You just need to do it for 3 months. And I believe there will be some folks like that. The Insight will be 72 hours. Over a three-month period. And Jeremy and Jocelyn Gall are actually going to move to Augusta. They're going to keep their house in Ashtabula, Ohio, but they're actually going to move down here and stay down here while the school is going on. And, of course, they'll be teaching. Susan and I will be teaching. Nate will be teaching. Others will be... did you know you're going to be teaching? Yeah. Oh, you knew that. Okay. Okay. The courses will be on faith. These are just some of the things we know. The courses, you know, we're working all this out as we're moving along here. The courses will be on faith, the works of Jesus, salvation theology, God's power in evangelism, gifts and callings, the empowerment of the believer, prayer, authority, and evangelism application. And one of the exciting things that we're going to be able to do is, you know, I've been wanting to do different kinds of outreaches, different than what we've already been doing. It's going to give us opportunities to experiment in the Augusta area and try some different things. And I believe it's just going to really even be a breeding ground of empowerment and evangelism and reaching nations and reaching this city. I mean, so many ideas and revelation are going to come forth. You know, whenever you're teaching something, I mean, you got to study it out, but then the Lord just adds to it. So all the revelation that we've got, I mean, it's been amazing. If it was just that, we'd have more than enough. But we know that's not where we're going to stop. I mean, the Lord's just going to add to this. So the possibilities are endless. And, you know, we'll have 15 to 20 people that will be trained to train others. Could go to other churches, go to other cities, people that we could send out to other places. So there's just a lot of potential in this area. So You'll be hearing more about this. So we're looking for a target date of the end of January of 2012. So that's our first project that we're talking about. And I'm going to have Susie come and talk about the second one. Praise God.
Well, you know, Matt mentioned that he and I had gone to Australia back in August. It's been so much has been happening, and what happened with that is we were invited. You've heard the story, I think, but we were invited by Jim and Jan Newton. They're the heads of AFCM Australia, that is in actually 56 different nations. It's AFCM Australia, but it's really come to be in a lot of ways the internet. In fact, Jim is the international director for AFCM at large, and they are on the ground in 56 different nations around the world. And a lot of those nations are nations that are predominantly unreached. And so it certainly includes just two of the nations include a third of the world's population, China and India. And they have active outreaches and Bible schools and all kinds of works going on in both of those nations. Anyway, we went to the conference. We were invited to come, and we went and we spoke at some churches, and then we spoke at a conference where there were about 70 pastors plus a lot of other believers that were there from various churches in the area. And those pastors represented many nations around the South Pacific, particularly. AFCM India was there, as well as people from Singapore and then, you know, Cook Islands and Fiji, which I've learned is the way you say it, and and all over Australia. And so since we were there, and we basically we just shared with him the stories of the people of Good News Church and Believers Ministry, how to do the works of Christ, how God works with us, just things like that. And during the services, people were really ignited. Their hearts were, you know, just caught a hold of what we were talking about. And so we've been in contact with Jim and Jan since then, and we've had several meetings on Skype. Thank God for technology and Skype. It's awesome. And so anyway, we were just gotten some reports. I wanted to share a couple of those with you. First of all, the people in Fiji have really caught a hold of what we're talking about, and they went back and immediately started putting in, you know, implementing the things that they'd heard and started working with it. And they work closely. Not only do they pastor there in Fiji, but they also have worked closely with the Assembly of God that's well established all over those islands. And so they've gotten in with them, and they're in fact doing a big conference to share this, and have invited us to come over next year as part of a trip back to Australia and share with a bunch of people all over those islands, many islands there. And so they've taken hold of it. There's a pastor, there's a church that was represented in the meeting, and eight people from the church plus the pastors came down to the AFCM meeting there in Sydney. They're from Cairns, Australia, north of Sydney. And they went back home. They heard what we said. They went back home and they said, "This is from God. This is what we're going with. This we're gonna do what it takes to reach people in our community." It's really reinvigorated their desire to see people saved, born again. And so they went and they sat down with their leaders, and they you know, like I said, eight of their people had come with them, and so they sat and they talked, and they looked around and said, "Does anybody know how to do this? We know we want to do this. Does anybody know how to do it?" And they all, you know, just manned up and said, "No, we really don't." So they got our materials and started studying through those, as well as just praying and asking God what to do. And they decided, "Hey, we'll just go out and try it." And so about, I think it was a few of them, maybe 15 of them went out and went out and just said, "We'll just go out on the streets and see what we can do," just following what they did over in Augusta and see what happens. Anyway, they were able to pray with 19 people to be saved. And that was the first time they've ever done anything like that. And they were blown away because it's been a long time since they've seen 19 people saved in their church. Well, there was another pastor that came, David Chandler, came from another part of Australia, and he and his wife came, and then they brought a representation from their church. And they came down, and again, these people really caught hold of it. Like you've heard us saying, the believers themselves really have caught hold of this. And so they came back and they said, "Pastor, we're going with this." And he said, "Yes, we are. We're going to do this." And so anyway, the last report we had on them through the people of their church, not in a church service, but outside the walls of the church, they've had 44 people born again come to Jesus. So those are just reports from three churches that we've heard from, and again, some of these are old reports. So, but the people are clamoring for more. They're wanting more. They're wanting more training because they recognize they know they've been inspired some, but that there's a lot more to learn. And so, the other part is that Jim has shared with us. You know, we're kind of aware of what's going on in our part of the country, maybe in the Western world, maybe, you know, in our nation or in the Western world. But since Jim goes to so many nations, he has a whole different perspective than we do. And he talks of a plague that is on, that's rampant on planet Earth that he's seen. And it's a plague among Christians. He said it's everywhere. It's not, because I talk about seeing it in America, and he said, oh, no, it's not just in America. It is in the church as a whole, there's a terrible plague. And it's a plague where believers are bored, they're purposeless, and ministers are attempting to do all the ministry, which God never intended for the, you know, fivefold minister, the pastor, people like that, to do all the ministry. And he said, and it is this plague that is going around where people don't know what to do, and they're bored, and they're just, you know, as far as with their Christian life, because they're just trying to survive. They don't really have strong purpose. And then the ministers are just collapsing under the weight of ministry. And he has seen from the Lord that the answer to that is what has always been the answer, to do ministry like they did in the book of Acts, to do ministry like Jesus instructed them to do. And that's the thing that we've gotten away from. And so he's also seen how that the model of ministry that the church is currently following, where the guy that stands up front is the guy who's responsible for the ministry, how inefficient that is. It's not efficient because most of the people that need to hear are not in here. They're out there, and it's ineffective because, again, the people are out there, they're not in here. And then besides that, to get out there and reach those people with a message any other way except through believers going and doing it, it's really not economical. You could throw money at it all day trying to reach people, you know, through the media, and it's just not effective, and it's also not economical. But you have people already embedded in that world, and reaching people through that means is definitely the way God planned for it to happen, and it's efficient. So anyway, we wanted to share with you a video. We had asked Jim. Jim had approached us 3 weeks ago with something that he felt was from the Lord, and it immediately bore witness with us and really went along the lines of what God's put in our hearts. And so we're going to play for you a video. It's about 8 minutes, so don't get nervous. We've planned for it to be that long. And we want to share that with you now.
Susie.
Hi, guys.
And the team at Good News Church. Well, here we are. We're just
going to... My flat white, half-strength skim milk.
Just going to relax here. We're just having our coffee. And Matt and Susie have asked us to share some things with you guys. We had a Skype meeting with them last week, and God had been speaking to me about some things, and so I thought I'd share it with Matt and Susie, and I just love those guys. Susie said, "Wow, you just freak me out."
Tilt.
So, yeah, we just love freaking people out. If there's one thing I've learned about God, he's always got a plan bigger than we can ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And so... what we want to do is just take a few minutes here just to share with you a couple of things, and let's just see what God's saying to us all and what he's leading us into. Matt and Susie, as you know, came over to our AFCM conference, and we just had an incredible time. Matt called it a historic time, and I certainly believe it was a historic time. It's amazing, really, the divine connection that God has brought us together. One couple on one side of the world and another couple on the other side of the world, and God's giving us one part of the puzzle, as it were, and we get divinely connected with you guys, and you have another part of the puzzle. I'm sure there are other people out there with different parts of the puzzle, but here it is. God has divinely connected us together. And, you know, with the conference we had over here, it was just an incredible time. You know, pastors, I think some pastors didn't know quite what to do with it, but believers were very excited. You know, I had believers coming up to me and saying, "Wow, why weren't we told this before?" And so they're really very excited. We want to be able to help pastors to get into the next realm. You know, some pastors believe their people are already equipped, they know all this. Other pastors are saying, well, we've still got to teach them one more thing. When they get hold of this, then they'll be ready to go. But the believers are ready to go right now. I get to talk to a lot of believers, and I'm listening to them. I'm asking them questions. At our church on Sunday, we were talking to a couple, Singaporeans, very fired up, just want to do something for the Lord. They're frustrated. I said, hey, would you like to get people saved? I said, yes. They said, you don't know how, do you? And they said, no, we don't know how. And I think this is the case with so many believers that are out there. The week before last, I was in Papua New Guinea. And we actually had a pastor from Papua New Guinea who came to our conference. And he just blessed me so much. I got there, I was teaching in a Bible school, and I got there a couple of days before he did. And I went to the airport to meet him. And as soon as he got off the plane, before we even got to the car, he was talking about the conference and the impact that it made. The things that Matt and Susie had said, the things that I had said, had made such an impact on him. He said, I went back to my church and started stirring them up and said, come on, folks, you don't want to just keep looking at the back of people's heads. Is that what you've come here for? You know, he wants to empower them. We had another couple from Fiji. I'll talk about them a little bit later, but they went back. They've been missionaries to Fiji for 10 years. And the wife is going back, and the husband and the wife is going back to pastor a church. And they said, we're going to take this back to our church. And actually, we've had some great emails from them. Mm-hmm. They said, day one, they empowered their people to go tell someone else about Jesus. And then the next Sunday, they started getting testimonies of what God was doing. So this was very exciting. But after the conference, you know, I felt I was on a roller coaster ride, you know. It was so awesome. Pastors, they're saying interesting things to me. Believers are excited, you know. We want to do something. And it was sort of up and down, and I'm praying, Lord, what else is there? What else can we do? There's something missing is what I felt. Mm. And when I was in Papua New Guinea, I was teaching in this Bible school along with the PNG pastor. And it was the last week of the Bible school. They had one more week to go after us. In that week, they were going to do a church planting conference, 20 hours church planting. And, you know, I thought, well, church planting, I've got no problem with church planting. I believe in church planting. Church planting is a good idea. I don't know anything about this course at all. But I thought, well, really, church planting is a great idea. But when you've planted a church, you've got believers that come to the church who are then still not empowered to do the work of the ministry. And I was talking to one of the students at the end of the week, and the church planting came up. And so I said to him, actually I'd asked at the beginning of the school how many pastors were in the school, and there was two. The rest of them were believers. So I said, oh, great, believers, I love believers, because you've got a ministry. And so I shared a little bit about their ministry, got them all very excited. I love getting people stirred up, challenge, you know, I've just got a passion, and I like to pass it on to other people. And I want to pass it on to you here through this video link today. And so I was talking to this guy, and this church planting thing came up, and I said, you're going to plant a church? He said, well, maybe in 4 years. I said, oh, 4 years, okay. I said, but right now you're a believer, right? He said, yep. I said, well, believers are supposed to get people saved and pray for the sick and heal them. Do you want to do that? And he said, yeah, that's what I want to do. I said, you don't know how, do you? And he said, no. Well, see, I got this idea from... They're going to do this 20 hours of teaching from church planting. And their vision is to plant 5 million dynamic churches. I don't know over what period. But then I just had this thought. Well, this is what we need. We need to have a training to train believers to do their ministry. How to get people saved. How to pray for the sick and get them healed. Get people into the kingdom of God. And so I started meditating on this, and I got really excited. Man, I couldn't even sleep that night just thinking about it. I thought, if we could put a course together, and we can take this to the nations. And so I came up with this thought, if over the next 10 years, that we could train 1 million believers to go out and win souls. And over the next 10 years, if those 1 million people just won 100 people to the Lord, then we could reach in 10 years 100 million people. So folks, we're very excited. We believe that we're at an aha moment. We believe that God has been putting things together on our side of the world and on your side of the world. And we've come together to partner, and we're about to go out now to the nations. I believe that we can bring in a minimum harvest in the next 10 years. And I believe I'm just being conservative of 100 million people into the kingdom of God. So let's pray and seek God for all the ingredients that we need, all the right contacts. God brings the right people across our path so that we can put the right program together, manuals, websites, ministry, the whole thing, so that people feel that they can connect to this, that it's a God thing. So Matt and Susie, we love you guys.
Yes.
We're excited. We don't know what's going to happen next, but we got no, God does. We're going to all keep our eyes on him.
Praise God. So I don't know if you caught what was being said there, but the gist of it is this, that there's a need, not just here at Good News Church and not just here in Augusta and not just in the places that we've been up to Ashtabula twice. And recently Jason went with Jeremy Gall out to Arizona, and then we've been contacted by other churches around the country, Las Vegas and various places, churches of, I think it was Las Vegas, anyway, churches contacting us from various places, not just a need there to train people, and really what had happened is we'd realized we needed to put some resources in writing to get some materials together, because we don't have time to go place to place, and it's not practical for us to go place to place and train people. And really not even our job to do that. And so we realized that that wasn't just the answer just for us to send another team to another place. It's not very practical to do that. Not gonna be very efficient. So we recognized the need to put some materials together. And then we had this conversation with Jim that we asked him to do this video from, where he said that the Lord showed him that we need to put together a course, a training course, an I Give Life training course. And that course, he said he would take it, if we would put it together, he would take it to all the nations where he is, 56 nations where he is. Like I said, two of those nations have a third of the world. I mean, a lot of those nations are where people, he's not just in Asian nations, he's in the stands, you know, Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan and Afghanistan, where it was just announced in the last couple of weeks, the last Christian church is shut down in Afghanistan, that there's not a Christian church in the whole nation. Iran, he has people in Iran. He has been in North Korea. He has people in North Korea, which is the most closed nation to the gospel on earth. He's been, in fact, when we were in Australia, we met the man that took him into North Korea, and they have people they're working with, believers that they're working with and encouraging in North Korea. God is everywhere in his people, and this is a way that we can get the gospel to people that couldn't otherwise hear. You can't build a church in North Korea. You can't have a big tent meeting in downtown Baghdad or, you know, in Tehran, but you can, believer to believer, one-to-one, the gospel can be shared. And if you look in the book of Acts, that's how they did it so often, one-to-one. They did it mass, and they did it one-to-one, house-to-house. And so there is that potential to reach, over the next 10 years, 100 million people. Now, when he said this, I have to tell you, he mentioned at the beginning, I was going tilt, and was pretty overwhelmed with the very idea that we could do anything that would impact. You know, if he had said 1 million people, I would have been really blown away, but that we could do this. And he, you know, the more he talked, the more convinced I was that this was actual reality and was from God and could happen. And then I remembered, too, at first I thought, you're just a crazy little Aussie and you're just, you know, wake up, buddy. What are you thinking here? But then I remembered that this is the man, Jim Newton, that went and one of his trips to China alone. You know, he works with two pastors in China that between the two of them, just two of the pastors he works with in China, pastor together more than 10 million people. So if you just got the course into them, how many believers could be trained? And so we have, since we've returned, since we've had this in the last, this has been, I guess, just a couple of weeks, we've been working on the course. We already have the outlines for the course. It's not that difficult. Already finished that up on Friday, the setting of those. So we're well on our way to making this thing happen. We have some very short goals. It'll be a video. Those of you who've been through FPU have an idea of what can be done just through video and manuals, and it's kind of, in some ways, we're using that as an inspiration of the way we're formatting it, and it'll also have a real connective link in the sense that we're having a website put together that people all over the world can, that go through the course, can go into this website. They can receive additional materials. There'll be a clicker there where they'll be able to record the people that they win to the Lord, so we can actually keep account of it. And people that have been trained, keep account of that, and then they can record their testimonies, and it'll be a centralized place. So we have all kinds of things that we're working on. There'll be people at Good News Church that'll be a part of this. We'll be using, you know, your testimony. You'll be, some of you will actually be on the videos that we do. And so there's going to be a lot going on with this. But the potential is there. Are y'all listening this morning? You look around the room, how many people are here? There's not a million people here. But we're talking about Good News Church doing something that's going to impact a million believers who will then be able to win people. And really, his estimates are conservative. I think of just the last outreach day we had, there were how many of y'all went out? 9 people went out, and just in less than 2 hours, 9 people prayed with 90 people to be born again. So that was 10 each. And we're talking about 100 over the course of 10 years. It's very doable. It's not outlandish at all. And so really what Jim has done is he's blown our minds out of thinking about the Augusta only. We're still thinking about Augusta, but not just Augusta, not just the U.S. and America. He said repeatedly to us, this is international. This is for the world. It's not just for the U.S. And you know, the place where the people, so many unreached people are not in the U.S. There are unreached people here, but there are nations that are unreached. And a lot of those nations are going to have to be reached person to person to person. Until the strongholds that are there that are keeping the gospel from being preached are pulled down by believers pulling them down. But you got to get believers in there, and you got to get believers sharing the gospel person to person. And those people have to be equipped. Amen.
Stick that right there. Well, praise God. That's exciting. So we're branching out. And this is all part of explosive empowerment. I had no idea about this at the beginning of the year. You know, maybe, you know, the middle of the year, you know, 2 months ago. But God, you know, was showing us that some big things were going to happen this year. So the two things, just a quick reminder that we talked about was the Insight Miracle Evangelism School. And then the second thing was that we're going to call it I Give Life Course, something like that. And a lot of a possibility there. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 4. I think these are really appropriate verses to read where we're at right now concerning this church. The scriptures I'm going to read, I'm going to start reading in verse 29 in the Amplified Version, but these verses came out of Peter and John going to the temple. Remember, there's the lame guy there by the gate called Beautiful. And then they came along, and he asked, the lame man asked for alms. And they said, you know, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. And he grabs him by the hand and tells him to rise, and he walks, and there's a miracle there, and he's all excited, and people are all excited. Well, the local leaders, now I won't say church leaders, but the local leaders, the Sanhedrin, were not excited about this, not happy about this, and so they called Peter and John before them and questioned them about it, and you know, basically threatened them. They didn't feel they had the ability at that time to punish them as far as jail or beating them, which they wanted to do, but they threatened them and said, "Don't preach and teach in the name of Jesus." So then Peter and John go back to their company, go back to their group. And it's good to have a group. It's good to have a church. But they went back to their people. And then let's pick it up here in verse 29. It says, "And now, Lord," and they get together and they talk about what happened and they begin to pray. And it says, "And now, Lord, observe their threats and grant to your bondservants full freedom to declare your message fearlessly. While you stretch out your hand to cure and perform signs and wonders through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child and servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. Now the company of believers was of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything which he possessed was exclusively his own, but everything they had was in common and for the use of all. And with great strength and ability, the power, the apostles delivered the testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, and great grace, loving kindness, and favor and goodwill rested richly upon them all. Nor was there a destitute or needy person among them." They were at a point where they were threatened. I mean, threatened with being thrown in prison and threatened with being beaten, which they know these guys will do that. And so they come back together, and any smart people were going to say, "Okay, you know, we're getting a little ambitious here. Why don't we just kind of tone it down a little bit? We'll keep on doing ministry, but let's just not do some of the things we were doing." I mean, there was that temptation. Do you understand that? There was that temptation. Well, you know, we don't have to do all that. We can still have ministry, still form our churches, but we just don't have to be as bold and be as aggressive here. And they got together and they talked about it and they began to pray and they said, "No, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to go forward in what the Lord said to us." And they prayed about boldness and then they just stepped out like never before. And there was provision there. And I love that where it says that there was no lack among them. No lack. Wouldn't that be amazing? I know there's needs here today. Wouldn't that be awesome? No lack. But in order to have an environment of no lack, I mean, we've got to be in the plan of God. We've got to be moving forward. We've got to have reason to have all the resources that the Lord wants us to have. And so I am like the folks back then. I feel it's, you know, because we had a service on Wednesday and we had a leadership meeting on Tuesday. And at the leadership meeting on Tuesday, I had people raise their hand that felt like they were under pressure or under stress or under a lot could happen. Every hand went up. Wednesday night, you know, just that service had people raise their hand. People under pressure, financial pressure, relationships, their jobs, other areas of their life, just a lot of pressure. And so it's an easy time, and we've been talking about next. It's hard to say, okay, how are we going to do these things? How are we going to move forward? Well, we're going to do it in God's power. We're going to do it in God's grace. We have to give God something to work with. And I don't believe it's a time to maintain. I don't believe it's a time to retreat. I believe it's a time to go forward. It's time to have something that's bigger than ourselves. We know what God already can do in the Augusta area. It's time to branch out, and it's a time to take this message to the world. So the Lord is giving us an opportunity today. Not to go up any, even an opportunity financially. Not to go backwards financially, but to go forward financially. So I'm asking for several things today. I believe the Lord is asking for several things today. Of what can we do now? What can we do today to prepare for what the Lord has for us? The first thing is to pray about what we've talked about today. We want to have students for insight. We want to have at least one student right now. We want to have students. We want to pray about wisdom to how to do these projects in the right way. Wisdom and how to get the word out on what we're doing. Then I want you to personally pray about attending insight. I believe there's people sitting in this room today, and you're maybe right now thinking this is impossible for me to do that, but I believe you'll be one of the students. It'll be in the evening, Tuesdays and Thursdays, over a three-month period. I want you to pray. And I believe there's people sitting here today that are going to be a part of this. And the third thing, starting today, I want you to sow something financially over and above our normal tithes and offerings. So one, we can be caught up on our church bills. Secondly, we can have the ability to purchase any equipment we need. I know of one thing we need right away. We need another high-quality video camera. And other equipment will be necessary. But also then to have the startup capital that we need to do both of these projects. Eventually, it's going to be more than just tens of thousands of dollars. But initially, it may be $10,000 or more initially to get things going. But to do what we want to do with the website and to do the course we want to do later on, other things, it's going to be tens of thousands of dollars. And so even today, I mean, if you feel led, directed by the Holy Spirit to sow something even today for this. But I'm expecting everything to be taken care of. But I believe it's an opportunity to us to leap forward in so many ways of this church. It's talking about explosive empowerment, but I believe there's a chance to explode financially. With every vision, there's provision. And if you're wanting to increase financially, it's a good time to sow into something like this. So just follow the Spirit of God. So we want to go ahead and receive our offering today. You just follow the Holy Spirit. Have our normal tithes and offerings, but if you want to sow something over and above that, follow again.